Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be listening to this long after the fact, and you could be one of our podcast listeners, but however you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're very, very glad to have you. And I can hear a little bit of rustling, which means we've got a few people on the line, which is very exciting. And it's an exciting time. There's a lot of really great things. You may have heard of 1 Billion Rising. You may have heard of something, just a little something called V-Day. And no, it has nothing to do with venereal diseases in terms of a VD or Valentine's Day, which sometimes people misinterpret as that. It's actually something really bigger. It's a huge thing. And what's really cool is we're at UBC right now with the coordinators of UBC V-Day. You may have heard of something called the Vagina Monologue. You may have heard of something called the Memory, a Rant, and a Prayer, and I just pronounced it incorrectly because I'm seeing winces across the across the studio. But anyway, there is a really beautiful movement around the world, which I'm going to have our guests tell you a little bit about. So welcome to the show. Welcome to this edition of Sexy in Van City. And with me in the studio, I've got Kristen Larson, and online I've also got Linda Yao. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're excited.
I'm excited to have you. And Linda, please forgive me. I just realized I mispronounced your last name. It's Zhao. So
just think Zhao like wow.
I like that. Zhao like wow. Mm-hmm. It's very, very cool. So for those people out there who have not heard of the Vagina Monologues, Kristen, would you tell us a little bit about what it is and in terms of the movement for 1 Billion Rising?
Yeah, so the Vagina Monologues is a part of a bigger movement called V-Day International, and we at UBC put on our own production for in support of V-Day, but it's essentially a movement to end all violence against women, which it's said that actually 1 in 3 women in their lifetime will be like raped or sexually assaulted or beaten or anything like that. So the purpose of this movement is actually just to end all that. I think all of us involved just would like to see that just go away. We think it's pretty sad that that's happening. And 1 Billion Rising is a new thing added to the movement this year. So what that is, it's actually Eve Ensler, the starter of the Vagina Monologues and the V-Day movement, is trying to escalate it. And it kind of, I think, in the past few years has lost a little bit of its kind of hype or so, I would say. And so 1 Billion Rising is meant to be here to escalate the movement back up and get people thinking about this. And this isn't an issue that can just be swept under the rug like it has been for so many years, but we need to actually be thinking about it and actively stopping it and kind of changing the world. So 1 Billion Rising is actually said to, you want to dance and walk and rise, and kind of it's said to shake the world. So they want a billion people dancing on February 14th is the big kind of thing behind it.
And I think that's fantastic. And I know in our pre-show chat, we were mentioning just that there's a lot of people doing it throughout the Lower Mainland. I think we thought that there was probably 3 to 5 other ones, as well as on UBC as well, which I think is fantastic that people are starting to get more engaged, which is terrific. Linda, did you want to add anything in regards to about 1 Billion Rising and why it's such an important movement right now?
Yeah, I think one of the, it's funny, we were talking about the whole dancing thing. Everybody dance, and I know dancing may not actively solve the problems regarding violence against women in this world, but I think it brings attention. I mean, like, V-Day is, February 14th is Valentine's Day. You know, there's a lot of love in this world, and we're all fans of love and everything, but I think it's kind of like, hey, well, look at us. We're speaking. This is an issue that's bigger than your normal Hallmark holidays. It's bigger than every day. It's women who are standing up and refusing to not pay attention to this issue anymore. And the sad thing is, you know, throughout the year that I've been working on this play, you know, the whole, you know, Mumbai rape, the Delhi rape, like, it just, it's scary. It's scary because it's continuing to happen every day. And I think that's why it's so important to kind of make our voices heard.
No, I agree. I think it's really key to have your voices be heard, because it is 1 out of 3 women. I believe it's 1 out of 6 men around the world, according to Amnesty International, who have dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18. And that needs to shift. It needs to stop. It needs to evolve. And I actually love dance, and I think it's a beautiful thing to do it on Valentine's Day, because I think of dance as a chance to rejoice and to actually come together as a community. And in terms of the global community, I think it's a gorgeous thing to do. Eve Ensler herself, she's one of my personal heroes. I'd love to meet. I don't know if either of you had the opportunity to do that, but if so, I'm so jealous. So, and I mean that in the sweetest way possible.
If we get the word out, she'll hear us.
That's true. She actually did send an email out that went into the V-Day. I'm on the mailing list for that. That went out. But I do love, just even to the, in terms of the root of V-Day itself, the fact that she put together the Vagina Monologues. Through that, just donating, basically waiving the cost for the rights. And correct me if I'm wrong with this, but that from my understanding of it, where she waived the cost of the rights to do it, so then universities and community groups could put it on the condition that a certain percentage would go to the V-Day initiative. And sometimes there's certain groups that she's highlighted over the years. So, for example, the women in the Congo, the WARS women, the Comfort Women in Japan. So those are some of the ones over the years that have been highlighted where that percentage globally will go to. And then as well, there's support for local initiatives as well for women who are dealing with violence. And if I remember correctly, yours this year are Battered Women Support Services, as well as on campus, which I think is great, the Sexual Assault Center. That's fantastic.
Our third beneficiary is actually a smaller, not as well-known, Supporting Women's Alternatives Network. They help sex workers within Vancouver. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
What was the third one called?
Supporting Women's Alternatives Network. It stands for SWAN.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know what that one is. I just didn't know what the acronym stood for.
Sometimes I still remember that the swan is a very beautiful image that they have.
It is. It's very, very, very beautiful. In terms of the show at UBC, I'm going to start with Kirsten. How long have you been involved in terms of both participating perhaps the first time and now doing it? And how has that evolved you personally in terms of your perception worldwide?
Yeah, so this is my second year doing it. It's actually been a huge, huge difference maker in my life, I would say. I was kind of one of those people before that would never regard myself as a feminist or anything like that. I was one of those people who was almost afraid of the word feminist. And since I became involved with the movement, it's changed my entire perspective on who I am, what I feel is important, and how I kind of go about living. So yeah, it just brought kind of light to this issue that I always knew about and was always affected by, but never really knew how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so it brought to light kind of this big thing for me, and just, yeah, it made me become just a huge activist. I'm now such an outspoken person about the movement and about a lot of different things. And then I think another thing that it changed was just my perspective on women. I think a lot of women tend to hate on each other, for lack of a better term, but women aren't supportive of each other. And I came into this space, and it's the space of both men and women working together and being kind of creating this beautiful thing and being so supportive of each other, and just no judgment, no anything. It's just they're there. And I found I could just tell them anything and feel, I was like, I was letting this huge weight off my shoulders. And yeah, it was pretty amazing to be there and just be in that kind of space. And I think, yeah, it's a big thing. And I think the more people we have involved in it, this year we have men involved in the movement and actually acting in a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer, which is just has been amazing, I think, and it is a huge step forward. And I think as much as we are here trying to speak about violence against women, men are also a part of this movement, and mm-hmm. men need to be also there speaking about violence against women. And it's about working together and supporting each other and being kind of one, like not letting gender affect everything that we do, because it shouldn't.
Well, it's a human issue. It's not a woman's issue. It's a human issue where it affects men and women when women deal with violence. And as well, 1 out of 6 men, where do the men go when there's things that happen to them and there's not as many resources? Not that there's lots for women either, but it's just in terms of being able to shift things, because none of it should happen in the first place.
Exactly.
Linda, how about you? How have you been? How did you get involved originally, and how has it shifted you?
It's a really funny story, actually. I'm actually quite terrified of public speaking.
Okay. And you're on my show right now.
I know. One of my friends acted in the show, and she inspired me to audition. And I thought, what better way to get rid of my or over my fear of speaking publicly than to get on stage and talk about vaginas?
That's
but,
true.
All kidding aside, I really loved being a part of the show, and I same as Kristen, I wouldn't have considered myself a feminist. And then doing this show, I was so shocked to see how many people were just, you know, they would react strangely or sometimes quite angrily to the word vagina. You know, you hear women who go to the doctors, they can't even ask them, like, what's wrong with my vagina? You have doctors who can't even say the word vagina, and I think that is at the root of the problem. Like, there's no knowledge about our sexuality, our needs, and from that kind of lack of knowledge, there's this lack of, like, to stand up for that right to that sexuality, you know, to not be abused, not, So that's kind of where it's evolved for me, where I feel like knowledge is sort of the route to all the power, you know, same thing with 1 Billion Rising. The kind of statistics that come out of it, like 1 in 3 women, that's a statistic that everyone hears, and they're just horrified. And I think that's just really important, and that's, it's changed me so much. To the point where I'm still here, and I want to be part of this movement for many years to come.
Cool. Yeah. Just out of curiosity, when both of you were in it before, which pieces did you perform?
So last year, when I was a part of it, I did a piece called Hands in Protest in a Memory, a Monologue, a Rant, and a Prayer, which was about a woman soldier who had just come back from the war in Iraq, and she had actually lost both of her arms, and it was about her struggle with the violence that not only had been committed against her, but actually she had committed against other people, and her struggle kind of internally about what to do with that. And then I was in the Vagina Monologues, a piece called My Vagina Was My Village, which is about using rape as a systematic tactic of war in Bosnia and Kosovo in the Bosnian War. So it's probably my favorite piece in the Vagina Monologues, to be perfectly honest, but not biased or anything. And then this year I'm acting in it again, so I'm doing basically kind of the hosting role of the Vagina Monologue, so doing a lot of the intros to the pieces and spouting off facts and stuff. And then in MERP, which is what we like to call a Memory and Monologue Rexburg, because it's less of a mouthful, I'm doing a piece called Woman about a woman from Afghanistan or Iraq, it doesn't actually specify, but who's had violence committed against her, and it's about her finally finding her voice and standing up for all of the women across the world. So both, all of them have been very, very cool pieces, all very different, and it's just like, although I can't relate to most of the experiences, because obviously I wasn't in them or anything, it's like this kind of release for me. It's almost therapeutical to be in these pieces, because I have experienced some form of violence against myself, and this is kind of like this just big release for me, and it's not at all that I can relate to that specific experience, but it's somehow just being able to talk about these issues that are so like silenced across the world just kind of gives you this huge release, and kind of it's just a huge thing for me to be able to talk about it. So,
No, and I think it's really good to have that platform. One of the things I wanted to ask both of you with, just there's been a couple really insignificantly high-profile cases in the last, let's say, 3 to 4 months, one of them being the New Delhi case, as well as that with, on a local level, the Amanda Todd case, which has been perceived as bullying, but I see it as almost sexualized bullying as opposed to just straight bullying. And in terms of almost having a network of support, in terms to have, because I imagine this might have been discussed amongst, the posse, which I don't know if that's the right word to describe, because I want to say the pussy posse, but I don't know if that's so outdated now or not, because that used to be the way they described everybody who was involved. But if that was helpful in terms of being able to have a space to actually have those discussions, and if you wanted to share any thoughts in regards to that, or if that was harder because of that.
Should I take that one? Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, sorry, Linda, I wasn't able to hear what you said.
Oh, I said, should I take that one? I
was sure, that would be wonderful.
I know personally, while I was going through UBCV Day and being a part of the productions, you know, I had some, I don't really know how to talk about it, but bizarre emotional trauma that had really happened to me. And we talk so much about violence against women, we don't really talk about emotional abuse that happens against women.
Hmm.
And for me, I really found an outlet with my own cast. We created a safe space every Sunday with rehearsals. We always had like a rule where everything you said didn't leave the room. There was no judgment. There was, you know, we had moments where people would cry, people would break down, and it was just so beautiful. And it was so supportive and encouraging for me to go in and be able to talk to people about this. And I think it helped me find my own strength out of that situation. And I think it's more than a production. You know, yes, we're here to act and we're here to love theater, but we're also here to grow as individuals. And I think that's been the hugest impact on me.
So how has it made you grow as an individual? Because I can imagine how good that would feel in terms of having a safe space, that support to be able to explore and share and in some perhaps let go of a little bit of the stuff in terms of being able to explore, discuss, and just feel okay.
I would say giving voice to what has happened, just like many survivors of you know, sexual assault, being able to say, I was raped, or I was a victim of emotional abuse, or I was the victim of something.
Mm-hmm.
That almost like, you know, when you don't talk about something, you're giving power to it. And once you kind of said, hey, this happened to me. And I know for me, I couldn't talk about it for a long time, not even with my own sister, not even with my own family, because I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. And I think being able to talk about it kind of let me know that it was okay. It wasn't my fault. It was someone else's fault. And that led me to be able to stand up to them, let them own up to their own, basically, travesties or what they've done. So I think that's what's really important.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, did you want to add anything in terms of any thoughts?
Yeah, I like everything that Linda says. I would kind of echo in the sense that, yeah, this V-Day isn't as much as it is about theater and everything. It's about kind of sharing, like for us, it's in that space sharing with each other, and then it's showing what it feels like to share with the world. So to me, the theater side of it is showing people that it's okay to talk about these things, like telling these stories where these women in some pieces are talking about how angry their vaginas are or things like that, or they're talking about how they were sexually assaulted as a child, like about talking about all those issues. The purpose behind this theater is that it's showing people that, hey, it's okay to talk about these things, and if these things are happening to you, you need to talk about them. And I think, as with what Linda said, like, I couldn't even talk about the fact that I had been sexually assaulted for a year and a half after it happened to me. I, like, had maybe told a couple people, but I couldn't talk about it to my mom, who is one of the closest people to me, and my sister, and things like that. And it wasn't until I really joined this movement that I think it really started to hit home that I need to talk about these things. And I actually ended up kind of telling people in rehearsal one day, and it was like, this whole, like, kind of just relief came to me, and I just, they were all so supportive. And you realize that, you know what, most people in the world are going to be that supportive. Yeah, there's some people who aren't, and there are those people who commit these acts, but the people around you, your friends, your family, those are the people you need to talk about those things with. And I think that's what the movement is about, is that theater is teaching people that, hey, you need to talk about these things, you need to be aware of them, and that sort of thing. So
that's pretty cool. Tell me a little bit about when, actually, first and foremost, when is the show? I think that's probably the most important question I should be asking. And where can people get tickets?
Go for it.
So it's the 12th, the 14th, and 16th for the Vagina Monologues, right?
Yeah, you are right, at 7 p.m., and it's at the Frederick Wood Theater, which is on the campus. UBC campus. And then A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer is the February 13th and 15th at 7 p.m., and then February 16th is a matinee show, so it's starting at 2 p.m. Tickets, we are selling them in the Student Union building at UBC, so any students on campus or staff or faculty or just community members can get tickets that way. Or we also have some links for online ticket sales as well as at the door. Linda, do you want to tell the online links?
Sure. I'd like to make everyone follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our page on Facebook is UBC V-Day, as well as on Twitter, and we have full links to all of the events, all the fundraisers we've done, as well as our tickets on brownpapertickets.com. The two links are ubcmmrp2013.brownpapertickets.com and then ubcbadgemon2013 and same ending, brownpapertickets.com.
Linda, I haven't asked you, what's your favorite monologue in there?
In which one?
Either or both.
Oh, gosh. You know, the thing about A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer, it's actually a collection of, I don't know how many works, maybe 200. And so a different selection is, a different selection is chosen every year based on the director. So our lovely director, hey, Jenna, she has chosen a wonderful collection. And one of my favorite ones this year is, in memory of a student that was raped, sodomized, and killed at NYU. Her name was Amit St. Guion. And this monologue is about a person reacting to her death. And it's kind of funny, but also extraordinarily powerful. She talks about getting weapons or carrying a knife in her back pocket. And it, as amusing as it sounds, it really alerts the listener to the fact that women live with this every day. Women live with the fact that they are walking down the street every day and they could be raped, they could be beaten, they could even just be assaulted in the sense that they're walking down the street and people will catcall. And I think, so that's my favorite piece from MERP. From Badgemon's, well, I can't really say they're all so good. I mean, I think The Flood is really cute. Have you heard that one?
I have. I'm actually pretty, yes, about the elderly lady. I love that, where she talks about the flood, where she is making out with a young man and gets wet one day and basically floods all over, if I remember, it's a white leather seat of his car, and he gets really grossed out about how icky, how it smells down there. So she ends up boarding it up and shutting it up and stops. She goes to selling real estate, if I remember correctly. I've read the play a few times.
It's funny because I think it's the story behind that monologue that inspires me so much. Mm. She had done an interview with this woman, and this woman apparently had her first orgasm when she was in her 70s, and she said she cried, and I just thought that was so beautiful. She went home, she made a bath for herself, and it was the first time she'd ever had an orgasm. I just find that so... It's just a very sweet story.
I think it's a really beautiful thing. I think that's one of the things, is just it's never too late.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, it's key. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking a lot more about V-Day, 1 Billion Rising, and I'm going to say that word, vagina, vagina, vagina. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We, as long as I can get this thing on, will be very closely right back.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women, 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. Only question now is what will you do?" Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada.
And we are back in Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, I've got two very sexy women around me. I've got one on the phone, and I've got one right across from me, sitting across from me in the studio right now. And they are beautiful, wonderful, empowered ladies who are doing something pretty cool called V-Day, and part of 1 Billion Rising. And they're going to be doing a series of shows, actually, on the 12th, the 14th, and 16th for the Vagina Monologues. And MERP, which Kirsten, if you can say what it actually stands for, memory, a rant.
A memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer.
I'm going to get it right.
It's a mouthful, I know.
Memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer. Memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer. I had to take a breath before I started saying that so I could get it all in one sentence. It's one big greedy gulp. So. And I've also got Linda Zhao on the phone as well, who's one of the coordinators for the shows. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So happy to be here.
Yay. So in terms of for V-Day, one of the things I was mentioning earlier in our pre-show chat in the green room with Kirsten was the fact that years ago when I first really got involved with the movement was probably back in 2004 for one of the charities I'm really involved with outside of CITR. We were one of the charities of choice that year. And what was interesting was the fact that SFU was also doing, participating in V-Day, as was somebody had the rights locally to do it. And we, and Kirsten, you and I were chatting about it, where it was interesting just that one of your cast members is actually, if I remember correctly, is from SFU, where she came deliberately to UBC because she wanted to be part of it and was really distraught that it was not at SFU anymore. And I thought that was really, I was really glad that she took the initiative to become part of a movement, and she was willing to take that. And I think that's awesome. But it also made me a little bit sad that it's not at SFU anymore, because I think it's important to have those voices heard on as many campuses as possible. So I think you're right in regards to the 1 Billion Rising, that by engaging people, getting them to celebrate, getting them to discuss things, hopefully things will start to evolve.
Yeah, and I think that's Eve Ensler's goal with the 1 Billion Rising, is really to escalate the movement to that next step, because often when you're running movements such as this, it can become very kind of stale and standstill, and I think that's her whole goal. And I actually was on the UBC, or sorry, not the UBC, but the V-Day International Facebook page today, and it's actually over 199 countries are doing 1 Billion Rising, either like in the form of a dance or an event or a theater production or anything like that. There is actually almost 200 countries, which is amazing.
And that's incredible.
I think it's probably the biggest number they've seen in a long time. And if you even think how many events are within all those different countries, like I'm sure in Canada there's probably, my guess would be 50 different events going on, in the United States probably even more. And so it is really cool to see how much this 1 Billion Rising has taken off, and I think it is exactly what the movement needed. And I know we're doing a flash mob at UBC, and I think it will bring a lot of attention to not just getting people out to the shows, like, but just getting people aware of what V-Day is and how much violence there is in the world, which is cool. So,
mm-hmm. One of the things you mentioned earlier is that you've got men participating in the show, which I think is fantastic. So which pieces are they doing?
So they participate in a memory, a monologue, a rant, and a prayer. And I don't actually remember the names of their exact pieces, but we have three men in the movement. All three kind of have some theater backgrounds, and that's kind of what stemmed them to kind of look into it. But then they also all are quite, they're all feminists, if you will. So they're all kind of involved in the movement for two reasons: to have that theater side, but also to get involved in this kind of anti-violence movement, which is really cool. So
mm-hmm.
I think it, Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's one of the first years we've had men involved in our movement, specifically at UBC V-Day through the Vagina Monologues and a Memory Monologue, a Rant, and a Prayer.
I believe we had some men involved a couple of years back, but I know it's difficult to get more than one guy involved, and sometimes some years they had to make it an all-female cast just because they couldn't get enough. And we were fortunate to have a couple of men try out, and I remember being completely blown away by their auditions. And the monologues they're doing, I don't remember the exact name, but one of them talks about visiting a brothel in Thailand and being shocked at all the child prostitution there. And another one of the monologues was about a guy who every woman in his family had been raped, and just talking about how ashamed he is on behalf of his gender for the violence that has been perpetrated against all these women in his life. And I think that's just the first time he did the audition, I was floored. You know, it was incredible.
How has it changed in terms of the experience of having the men involved, in terms of as a cast, getting to work and collaborate and discuss some things that sometimes are considered predominantly feminine?
When we start out rehearsal, last year we'd start out with, how is your vagina feeling today? We realized on day one that this might be a tad problem, and I think it was a good problem to have, so we revised it to, how are you feeling today, or how is your genitalia feeling today? Because it was really great to have them there, because, you know, we don't go on to this whole thing like, okay, women this, women that. We kind of appreciate their perspective, and they're so respectful. We had all these workshops on female anatomy, very detailed female anatomy workshops, and they've just been so patient and just so understanding. And so, I mean, it, just hearing why they're involved every day is amazing. Because I don't know if you've heard, the Ending Violence Association of BC has collaborated with BC Lions, the football team in Vancouver, and they have these ads about, you know, I'm standing up because, you know, I don't want to be a bystander. And I think that's important, is that, yeah, not only are, yes, men do commit violence against women and women do commit violence against women, but what's important is that a lot of men are bystanders. They can stand up and they can say, no, I don't want this to happen. You know, this is not right.
And I think there's a big shift with that as well. I believe it was at the end of 2011, I was at an event where one of the gentlemen who was at the time executive director for a lot of the Aboriginal Friendship Centres in BC actually stood up and said that was one of his personal missions, was to encourage Aboriginal men to stand up and say, it's not right, and they're not going to stand up, like they're going to stand up to make sure that men aren't being violent against women in general. And it was really cool where he actually encouraged, and there's probably about 1,000 people in the room, and actually got them all to stand. It was pretty amazing. So I think it's really great that that's spreading even more. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Was there anything when you both joined, and I will, Linda, I'll send, put this to you first, that issues that perhaps you weren't aware of, like, and through getting familiar with the monologues, just the material, realizing just things that were going around that perhaps you weren't aware of around the world, and just almost being shocked?
I think when, you know, I started this, you generally perceive that, you know, women have come very far. You know, I myself, I'm a professional woman, and I hang out with beautiful professional women around me, and I surround myself with beautiful professional women, like all of you are. And so what happened in India really shocked me. It really did, because I just couldn't understand that, you know, we've come so far, and yet there's just so much to go. I mean, women still earn, what, 73 cents on every dollar that a man earns? And, you know, I look at my own company, I look at the executive team, there is not a single woman on the board. And we still have so much to go, and I think it's something that we have to keep working away on. And even now, I remember the other day one of our cast members was postering the Vagina Monologues, and someone said something to her, And I couldn't believe it. And I've had this happen to myself, too. I'm postering, and people say, don't say that word. Don't say that word. I'm like, what? Vagina? Vulva? Clitoris? and I think it's something that I've become really passionate about, you know, and I come from a very traditional family and culture in many ways, and I've become very passionate about the fact that there needs to be knowledge about this.
I think that's key. Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with everything Linda said. I think it was really shocking how afraid people are of women's sexuality and this word vagina and everything, yet you hear people say penis all the time, like it's really not a big deal at all, and then you say vagina or anything related to a woman being sexual and it's taken in a very different nature. And I think the biggest thing for me was actually going on this fact that no one really ever talks about it. And I think that is the biggest thing, because last year when I was in the production, I invited some of my male friends who I would honestly probably have never even said the word vagina in front of, and was so nervous to have them come to the show. And honestly, after, I got nothing but support from them. They were all so floored, and I'm very lucky to have really supportive male friends in my life, but they were all just so excited about it. And my boyfriend came, and he just like was just overwhelmed with just joy for me. And I think that we forget sometimes that although this bad stuff is happening, most people are good, and there is those good people around us, and that mm-hmm. talking about it is what actually needs to happen. And I think it's the fact that yes, there is this violence, but we no longer can ignore it. We need to talk about it, and most of the people that are surrounding you will be supportive of that and that sort of thing. So I think that was a really powerful moment for me, was knowing that those people are there to support me and that sort of thing.
What would you like to see at the end? So that's just say the end of February. So either both shows are complete. All the fundraising efforts are there. You've been able to go by the organizations that you've raised money for as well. What would each of you like to envision in a perfect world where everything went absolutely perfectly? And how would you like to see in terms of waving that magic wand where things have shifted? I'm going to start you look like you've got something to say, so I'll start with Kristen.
I would like to see sold-out shows, so
okay.
We don't typically sell out our shows, which is okay, that's fine, but we would love to sell them out. Specifically, A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer is a play that not a lot of people are aware of and don't know about it, and I think that it's really important that it's contrasting the Vagina Monologues in the sense that the Vagina Monologues is a very comedic piece, and A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer kind of hits home with really dramatic kind of just out there pieces. And I think they're both very important pieces to the movement, and I would love to see both the shows sell out. Typically, the Vagina Monologues sells out on a couple nights, Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer doesn't, and so I would love to see both of them sold out. And then I would actually love for all of our cast members to be able to go to the organizations that we raise money for. And it's something that we didn't do last year that I really would like to see this year, in the sense that as many people as possible can go and hand over that money and see the difference they're making, especially even just like a lot of the people who are in the production, Linda and I are not, but a lot of people are students, and just going to the Sexual Assault Support Center at UBC and seeing really the work that they do and how important it is to this campus. It's probably one of the only open places on campus, and is so important. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the big thing I want to see, sold out shows and lots of money raised. But I think that's typical to probably everyone involved in fundraisers like this. So
how about you, Linda?
Kristen, that is a beautiful point, and I will make sure that we hand over the checks together this year. So I just wanted to say that. And with regards to A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer.
Thank you.
The first time I heard it read, and because it's composed differently every year, I actually couldn't speak. I probably had to go home and compose myself. I felt like I had been blown apart into pieces and kind of had to pick them all up and put them back together. And I think that's important because you need to be shocked. Nothing's going to happen if the viewer is not shocked. And I think it's hard to convince people to go to the play because it's sad. The content is intense, and some people can't face up to that. But I tell people, like, you will forever be changed. It is quite an intelligent. As I said, not as comedic, not like vagina this, vagina that, but pure intelligent pieces about violence against women. And that's what I really love about it. And yes, my vision is sold out shows, and I think that's why I got involved this year. I love getting the word out. I love getting the marketing in, and I think this year we've kind of just revamped all the social media to really, you know, we had an art exhibition fundraiser, which kind of revitalized the community in around the downtown east side, and it was something that was totally different this year, and I think we'll be doing annually from now on, and I think that, you know, even if we don't sell out, which, you know, may or may not happen, I think the building awareness is what I'm aiming for. Like, I want to mm-hmm. build a structure where UBC V-Day not only is part of UBC, it becomes the V-Day movement in Vancouver that will continue for many years to come. Mm. So that's my long-term vision.
I think that's really cool. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we are going to be chatting more. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
The Study and Go Abroad Fair is proud to support CITR's fund drive from February 26th to March 8th. The fair is a great opportunity for anyone considering studying, volunteering, working, or traveling abroad. Exhibitors will include universities from around the world and student travel organizations. The Study and Go Abroad Fair happens Tuesday, March 5th from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the East Ballroom of the Vancouver Convention Center. All visitors will also be entered in a grand draw with prizes including a trip on Air Canada, a volunteer trip in Nicaragua or Nepal, and an iPad. CITR will also be doing a live broadcast from the fair with interviews, demos, and more. For more information, go to studyandgoabroad.com.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, Temple of the Modern Girl Boutique, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
March 2nd to the 23rd, the 2013 Vancouver International Dance Festival invites you to experience the kinetic simulation of contemporary dance. Delivered to you on stages throughout Vancouver by outstanding dance artists from New Zealand, Denmark, Switzerland, Zimbabwe, Mexico, Malaysia, Korea, Montreal, and Vancouver. Information and tickets are available online at www.vidf.ca or through our box office at 604-662-4966.
Saturday, February 9th, CITR presents the 26th annual Bob Marley Bash, featuring Steel, Natural Flavors, and Roz Nikki Lesh, hosted by George Barrett and Louis Sutherland. Tickets available at High Life Records, Zulu Records, Salon Supreme Rhythm, and Spice. Doors at 8 p.m.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And we've got a new guest on our show as well. And I'm going to apologize to our wonderful listeners and to the lovely Linda Zhao, who's one of the coordinators in regards to the production for the UBC V-Day movement, because of the fact I accidentally hung up on her. And I'm really embarrassed, but we'll deal with that later. And I will, Linda, if you're listening, and I hope you are, please forgive me. I have also got the wonderful Kirsten Larson in the studio. And as well as that, I've got Jenna Newton on the phone. And Jenna is the director for, let's see if I can get this right, Memory Monologue, A Rant in a Prayer. Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yay! Right, I'm almost afraid to try and say it one more time because I'm afraid I'm going to say it, not do it right. But
well, why do you think we call it MERP?
Much easier to say that. So, so Jenna, just tell me a little bit about MERP, just in terms of your because I know it's over about approximately about 200 pieces. It's a little bit more intense. And what's been your vision in regards to choosing the pieces you've chosen this year to pull it together?
Well, when I approach any kind of theater piece in general as a director, I look at what I want the audience to walk away with.
Okay.
And MERP is an especially special case because I got to choose which monologues I put in the show this year. And I decided that MERP is largely about violence against women, whereas I think that the Vagina Monologues is more about female sexuality. And so I decided to explore that a little bit. And there are a couple more comedic monologues in A Memory Monologue, Rant to Prayer. But I've decided not to beat around the bush this year. And pretty much what I've decided to do is just stand up and say it and hope that people listen.
And for you personally, what would you like to see in regards to basically once the shows have wrapped, in terms of some of the, if you created, let's just say after the show you created another event, either a talk back or a community conversation of some sort, what type of things would you like to hear?
I'd like to hear people interested in it. I'd like to start a discussion, because one of the things that I find mainly fuel things like violence against women is ignorance, people who don't know that it's happening or people who ignore that it's happening. And I'm one of those people that loves to talk to people, other people with differing opinions from my own, because I believe that that kind of conversation can spark something really outstanding and give you a new perspective on the things you're looking at.
Hmm.
So I'd really like to hear about some perspectives other than my own on the content of MERP and the subject of violence against women.
Because of the fact it's global in terms of for V-Day, Kirsten, one of the things you were mentioning earlier was just checking out the website, just in terms of seeing what people were doing on a global level, just in different pieces of the world, and the fact that there was 199 countries involved. What has been just some of the stuff, and I'm going to put this out to both of you, in regards to MERP, I'm just going to shorten it, and do what you do, in regards to that some of the pieces that other people are talking about around the world, just on a global scale.
I think that is actually one of the greatest things about MERP, is that it is such a global scale. So the Vagina Monologues is kind of more generalized, not really about specific areas of the world necessarily, but MERP actually targets kind of specific issues that are happening in the world on a day-to-day basis and tells you about them and kind of like puts them in your face so you can't ignore them. So for me, that's actually one of the things that drew me to MERP the most, is just this kind of, you see all these different issues about violence against women and how much they affect people and how widespread they are and how different they are. And there's all these different experiences that women have with violence and how they affect you and that sort of thing. So I think that is probably one of the biggest parts of MERP.
And what you'll find a lot, especially with a subject like violence against women, is it is very common around the world and there are many overlapping things. However, a lot of the time you'll see different types of violence against women happening in different parts of the world. So, for example, something in MERP that really got my attention was in a couple of the monologues, one of them the introduction written by Eve Ensler, and also the ever so famous Fur Is Back, also written by Eve Ensler. She talks about things like how women's faces are melted off in Pakistan, which is something that I'd never heard of before, and I knew that it must be a real thing. And it wasn't actually until 1 Billion Rising and the promo video for 1 Billion Rising that I came face to face with a person who this had happened to. And she's just so beautiful, and her story must be so sad. But it's just amazing to think that as much as you can hear these things, it's so different seeing it.
No, I can only imagine. I'm going to have to take a look at that video.
It's nuts. It's in the show.
In terms of for the show, that's just one more time in regards to where they can get tickets, because I think that's really key.
Okay, I'll take this one. Again, it's two different shows, but it's The Vagina Monologues is happening February 12th, 14th, and 16th at 7 p.m., MERP, we'll just go with MERP from now on, I guess, February 13th, 15th, and at 7 p.m., and then the 16th at 2 p.m., so the matinee show. Tickets are $15 for one show, or you can get $25 for two shows, so you can get a ticket to A Memory, A Monologue, Ranch to Prayer, and a ticket to The Vagina Monologues for $25, and then... Yeah, and then tickets are being sold at the Student Union Building at UBC, so you can come get your tickets there, or you're more than welcome to do it online. The links are posted on our Facebook page, V-Day, UBC V-Day, and on Twitter, or you can get tickets at the door, but get them in advance, because hopefully it'll sell out.
And also, just to add on to that, in the Student Union Building at the UBC campus, we are setting up a booth selling some merchandise and stuff like that. You can get your tickets there, or if the booth isn't up, at the Outpost, they sell our tickets there as well.
I think that's fantastic. Jenna, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're welcome. And is there any last thoughts that you'd like to add before we wrap the show?
Just that everyone should come see the play and support the amazing people that were involved in it.
I think that's awesome. Thank you. Kristen, is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, I think Jenna said it all. I think just getting involved with the movement, whether that be coming to see the shows, you can come to our flash mob at UBC, which is happening on February 14th as a part of 1 Billion Rising. You can go to the downtown 1 Billion Rising movement at the Vancouver Art Gallery or at the Roundhouse. There's a bunch of different stuff happening, but just really being aware of the movement and talking about it. Don't hesitate to talk about it.
Okay, where on UBC? UBC is a really big place. I get lost, and I've been doing the show here for a while, and I get lost all the time. When there was the student leadership conference a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking at the thing, and I got lost. I got a little traumatized, actually, but thankfully I had some really good people who found me and redirected me. So where is the flash mob going to be on
It's
UBC?
Going to be, it's actually to be determined, probably either on Sub North Plaza or within the Student Union Building. We aren't sure yet, but check our Facebook page. That is the best place to get info, is UBC V-Day or on Twitter, so at UBC V-Day. But all of our info about everything about the movement is there.
Okay, thank you, because I'm always very curious. I know it's supposed to be a flash, so it's supposed to be like,
yeah,
flash. Which, on that note, there is a video, is there not, that people can kind of prepare a little bit for the flash in regards to learning the dance?
Yeah, so you can actually learn the choreography for the 1 Billion Rising song, which is called Break the Chain. You can learn the lyrics, you can learn the dance. Super awesome. Yeah. It's very cool. I know the dance. I actually do it at home sometimes.
It's pretty simple. Trust me. If I can learn it, you can learn it.
It sounds very intriguing. Is it true that they teamed up with the creators of Zumba to do the dance? I heard a rumor about that. Is fact or fiction?
It would explain a lot.
I think that it's not. It's fiction. The lady who choreographed Fame actually choreographed the dance. But I know that Zumba, the like fitness trend, is actually involved in a 1 Billion Rising movement. I believe in New York City they're doing like a big, I think, like Zumba off type thing, where the creator of Zumba is coming, and that's how they're celebrating their 1 billion rising moment.
That's really cool. I like that. And Irene Cara, isn't it? Irene Cara.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because she sings What a Feeling. She plays Coco in Fame, which her character deals with sexual exploitation as well. And if I remember correctly, at least at one point, I believe she was on the board for V-Day at one point, and I don't know if that's fact or fiction anymore, but I thought she was quite heavily involved.
I'm not sure, but
I heard the same thing.
I like when we hear same things, so hopefully it's
good. It makes
it
seem a little bit more fact than fiction, but who actually knows?
And for our wonderful listeners, we are going to be giving away some tickets to the show of your choice for the night of your choice. So if you could do me a huge favor, if you want to enter, you can enter by saying, I love my vagina, or I want to see the Vagina Monologues, or I want to see Merp. Make sure you include at Sexy in Van City and at UBC V-Day, and we will be picking a winner, as well as that if you go to our Sexy in Van City radio site on Facebook. You can also leave a comment as to why you want to come see the show and what your favorite monologue is in either play, and that would be really great, and we will let you know whether or not you get an opportunity for you and a friend to come and see that. So once again, ladies, thank you so much for being on the show. And I applaud you, and I applaud Linda as well, who I unfortunately hung up on, so I didn't get to say a proper goodbye to her, who is absolutely lovely. And yes, thank you for doing what you're doing. It's absolutely wonderful. Being vagina heroes. It's fantastic. So
thank you for having us.
Yes, welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding us through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And don't forget to get your tickets. One last time, ladies, where can they get the brown paper tickets? They can get the links on your Facebook page, right, which is UBC V-Day?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Facebook or Twitter.
That's perfect. Or they can get it on campus as well, because you're going to be on campus. And which, is that every day or again?
Every day this week, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then on the weekend, you can get them at the outpost.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Until next week, bye-bye.